Well, I'm going to put you in the driver's seat today. So, you know, we said character is the commitment to do what's right, as God defines right, regardless of the cost. I think most of the time, the problem in our life is not knowing what's right and wrong. We don't have a problem understanding that. I think our problem is the will to do what's right. And we've kind of discovered through this series that the good news for us as Christians is that God does not want us to manufacture our own character. The fact is that God's enabling us through Jesus Christ as we're abiding in prayer and meditation and scripture, that as we're abiding, God is working in us and in our lives. And we talked about God is renewing us, specifically is renewing our minds. And that renewal process is really a two-step process. And the fact is that God is working. He's helping us kind of tear down the engines of our lives to find those faulty parts, those lies that we believe, those half-truths, which are lies also, by the way. And those faulty parts, those lies, are really the basis for many of our attitudes. They fuel our temptations. They keep us enslaved. And they keep the engine running really rough when it comes to character in our lives. And God knows that our attitudes and our way of thinking about stuff and what we believe is really shaped by what we believe. And so what we believe kind of ignites our behavior. And so God, in order to change our behavior, to change our character, God says, you know what? I'm going to work inside of you. And I'm going to help you identify those faulty parts. I'm going to help you replace those parts with new parts. And so God's working inside our hearts. He's working inside our minds because he wants to change us. Now, last week we talked about that we need to find very specific truths from God's word to counter the specific lies that many of us believe, so that it is on the tip of our tongue, the truth, in those moments when we're tempted, those moments of anger, those moments when we struggle, those moments of weakness or loneliness or whatever, that we are able to deal with the situation. We looked last week at Jesus and his life and how he dealt specifically with three different temptations, and how he was able to identify and kind of counter those lies, and he countered it with God's truth, in fact, God's word. And each time he would say, "It is written," and then he would state God's truth. Today what I want to do is get us in the driver's seat, get our motors running a little bit, and get us moving through this. So Jesus was speaking to a small group of followers. These were new followers, probably. And Jesus said this. He says, so Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples." If you abide in my word. You know, for some of us, I think we believe, maybe not consciously, but subconsciously, that for years you've been kind of frustrated in life because somewhere along the way you got this notion that the way you change is you come to church. And for some of you, maybe you've been coming for years, and you would look and go, you know, I'm still the same person. Maybe look at your spouse and go, they haven't changed much. Kids haven't changed. Maybe nobody's changed. In fact, it's why a lot of people drop out of church, is they were going to church, they thought church would make them change, and at some point they go, why am I doing this? And so they just give up. Some people pray and pray and pray, oh, I got to change, got to change, I need help with this, and nothing ever happens. And so they came to the same conclusion, they go, well, forget that, that doesn't work either. We should not be surprised that those things don't work in and of themselves. In fact, Jesus makes it very, very clear that if you want to be free, if you want to be free of anger or lust or jealousy, materialism, if you want to change whatever it is, you've got to remain, you've got to abide. Jesus says, in my words. You got to abide in my words. You got to saturate yourself in the word of God. And I want you to look at the promise at the end of this verse. And you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. Friends, I think that part of the verse, I think it's so simple that we tend to blow right past it. And what Jesus is saying there is the key to change is knowing, saturating yourself, dwelling in, abiding in, living in the Word of God. In other words, it's not simply willpower. It's not dedicating myself, rededicating myself. It's not attending church. It's not even praying. Now, don't misunderstand me. Those are all good things. We should be doing them. They are helpful to our growth. But if we are going to change, it requires you and me, it requires us to know the truth. We are transformed by the renewing of our minds. And I said this early in this series, I could deliver a very convicting message on a topic like honesty, for instance. And some of you, in fact, most of us, would probably walk out of here and go, I need to be more honest. I shouldn't be dishonest. And we would go out of here fully intending on living an honest life, being honest with everything we say. I could do that on just about any sin or any topic, and a majority of us would walk out and go, I ought to do that, or I shouldn't be doing that. But most of us would walk out of here, and within short order, we would not be able to see it through. And today, what I want to do, this is rubber hitting the road here, but I want to invite you to do a little inspection of your engine, the engine in your life. This is something that everyone here can do, and we're going to look at some various areas of life that I believe all of us struggle with to some degree or another. And I want us to identify the faulty part, some of the lies that we're believing. And I want us to replace it with God's truth. And I want to invite you, as you're inspecting your engine, not your spouse's engine, not the person next to you, your engine, to do a little bit of customizing to kind of help improve your performance in that particular area. So first area of the engine that I want you to look at is your thought life. Now, do you know the lie that we believe when it comes to our thought life? I can't help what I think. I think about it, it pops in my mind, and I just can't help it. And really, that's a lie. I mean, we all have flashes for a moment, but when we begin to think about, we do have control. See, the temptation behind any temptation that we face is there's always this lie. You got that faulty part. And so we got to replace it. We got to replace that faulty part with a new part. Got to commit a verse like this to mind. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. This would be a good verse, guys. This would be a good verse for you at work. You know, to commit to memory. You know, when you're sitting at the desk or wherever you work and that gal walks by. And instead of turning your head and watching her walk by, maybe you quote that. Whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, the deal is, by the time you get that recited, they're down the hall. But that's how it works. It's real practical. You know, some of you, what you do in your spare time is you sit around and you complain, mad at people all the time. You know, daydream about like imaginary conversations where you win, where you put them in their place, where you make them look like an idiot. You know, anybody like that? I mean, all kinds of wacky thoughts that we get. All of us have some area in our thought life where I think we need a verse like that on the tip of our tongue, so when we start going down that road, it kicks in. Praiseworthy stuff. That's what I'm going to think about. Here's another one. How about the area of the consequences of sin? What's the lie there that we believe? Well, the lie is we believe there are no consequences to sin. I mean, we're very sly with this one. It's just a little thing. No big deal. So I'm going to go ahead and do it. I don't see a problem here. It is a lie. The truth about sin, you know, James 1:15 says, then our evil desires conceive and give birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to what? See, I believe we all need that verse on the tip of our tongue. Because every day, every one of us is tempted in some way. And we are tempted to believe it's not a big deal. There aren't any consequences to whatever it is. Where there's sin, there's death. Jesus said that many times in his ministry. I mean, some of you killed your marriage because of sin. Some of you have alienated yourself from your parents because of sin. Some of you have killed relationships, you've killed your finances, your reputation, your self-esteem, all because of sin, and it was a little thing. Where there's sin, there's death. I mean, it may be a slow death, granted. It may not be recognizable sometimes initially, but all of us could look at various habits in our life that have caused death and messed us up. Again, then the evil desires conceive and give birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. I mean, that truth can set you free from a lot of things. Here's another one. How about honesty? Anybody have a problem with honesty? Anybody? Think about it. I mean, half-truths. Twist the truth. Exaggerating. Withholding information. They're all issues of truth. You know, the Apostle Paul, he says, do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self and its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. I mean, what's the lie that we believe? We think that by twisting things or stating things in a certain way or not being honest, that we can cover things up, right? That it makes us look better. That the lie is somehow moving me forward. You know, I'm progressing. And God would say, no, 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 no. When we lie, when we're not honest about something, we're working against God. We're working against what God's trying to do in us. And just me saying that, some of you go, I never thought of it that way. See, that's a significant shift. You know, how about the area of forgiveness in life? Why don't we forgive all the time? Many times we don't forgive because we don't think we can. Or we don't think they deserve it. And this is where the lies start really piling up. You know, if I forgive them, it's like saying, oh, it's okay. If I forgive them, it's like letting them off the hook. If you're going to hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. I need to punish you. Lies, grudges, resentment, revenge, issues of forgiveness. Friends, I will tell you, I have watched people destroy their lives with this one. Well, I can't forgive that. You got to forgive that. You know, Paul, he writes, he says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ in God forgave you. Why do we forgive? Because God forgave us. In fact, if you have a problem forgiving, if there's someone that you're angry at for hurting you, you bought into the lie. Because you can, you ought to forgive because you've been forgiven and it's going to free you up ultimately. Every time you start to have that imaginary conversation or you start plotting and planning and going to get even, you start harboring up all the resentment and the anger. Every time you refuse to forgive, you need to recall that verse. It's a great verse. It reminds me. Maybe they don't deserve it. But they do because God forgave me. See, it changes your perspective. How about pride? Anybody got some pride in their engine? Do you know the reason why we're proud most of the time? We think we are something. And we think everybody else isn't. Hey, that was my idea. I came up with that. I wrote this. I did this. Me, 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 me. Pride keeps me focused on me. You know what else pride does? It keeps me from admitting I'm wrong. In fact, pride will make me do anything and everything to even lie to defend ourselves. I mean, we want to protect. Jeremiah, he writes Jeremiah 9, 20, 23 and 24. He says, thus says the Lord, do not let the wise boast in their wisdom. Do not let the mighty boast in their might. Do not let the wealthy boast in their wealth. But let those who boast in this. Here we go. Here's the nugget. Let them boast that they understand and know me, that I am the Lord. See, if we have a problem admitting when we're wrong, if we have a problem with pride, I need to recall this. Need to embed that in the engine of my life so that as soon as I start preparing, and we do prepare to take these pride rides that we take, that there's something that kicks in and goes, no, I am not going down this road again. I've been down this road. I mean, I'm smart. I'm strong. I'm wealthy. I'm whatever. But I'm not going to tie my self-esteem up in something other than knowing God. See, that'll keep me moving. It'll keep me moving in the right way. How about change, the area of change in your life? You know why most people don't change? Because we think we can't change. You know why we think we can't change? Well, it goes something like this. Well, my mom was that way. And her mom was that way. And her mom's mom was that way. And Eve was that way. I just can't help it. I hear guys with this one all the time. They go, well, my dad did it that way. My dad did all that stuff. I can't change. It's just part of my genes. Romans 12, 1 says, do not be conformed to this world. You know what a pattern of this world is? It can be a thing like heritage. And I just want to, when people start saying, well, my dad was like that, my mom was like that, I just want to go, just because they were doesn't mean it was right. Paul says, you don't have to be the same. You don't have to fall into that same pattern. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You don't have to be the same. Well, I can't help it. I can't change. Lies, 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 lies. Stop saying it. Stand up with the truth. I will not conform. I will change. With God's help, I can change. You see how that works? It's a different way of thinking. Those thoughts that have taken you down time and time again, where you've given yourself the out, truth can transform you. Truth can change you. How about that area in your engine when it comes to anger? Again, this is closely related to forgiveness issues, but it's a little bit different in that we go, well, I have a right to be angry. I deserve to be angry at them. And I've done a lot of counseling through the years, and about 90% of the time when I'm sitting with someone that's battling through some issue, it's usually dealing with anger. Somebody's mad at somebody, mad at a boss or coworker or family or an ex or an issue that's in the distant past that they just can't get over. Can't let it go. You know, that anger just kind of swells in them. You know, marriage, there are a lot of things in marriage pretty simple to fix. You know, people go, oh, she leaves the lid down all the time. Just can't stand. He leaves the lid up. Well, I can help you with that one. That's not a big deal. But the real problem that wreaks havoc in most marriages, anger issues. You know, in fact, many times the nitpicking and the pot shots and stuff really stem back to somebody's mad about something. And they don't know what to do with the anger. And so what happens is we believe being angry that they deserve it, and so we just let it go. And friends, if you're going to quit going down that road, the only way you do that is to get set free by the truth of God's word. You know, allowing the truth of God's word to kind of rev up in your engine so that you think about those scriptures, you know. James 1:19 says, you must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone, I think that means all of us, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. See the truth there? Your anger does not produce God's righteousness. And I know just talking about this, for some of you, you go, but you don't understand. You don't understand what they did. I understand. I understand you may have been wronged. I understand they may be completely wrong. But here's the truth. Our anger never accomplishes God's will in our life or anyone else's. That's powerful stuff. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. That's a shift. How about speech? I mean, this is a big one, especially in our society today. I can't help what I say. I mean, as soon as he starts in, as soon as she starts in, I just find myself saying stuff that I know I shouldn't. You know, when the kids come home and they're getting at each other, I just finally lose it. Lie. Lies. Here's the truth. Paul says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what's helpful for building up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. I want you to think about that verse for a minute. Could you imagine a family where no unwholesome words are spoken? Only words that build up. I mean, can you imagine a family like that? Could you imagine a workplace like that? Could you imagine an organization like that? Could you imagine a country like that? Or a church like that? See, I have a big difference. I want to be a part of that. How about the area of selfishness? Anybody got issues with selfishness? See, there's a lie that fuels that in our world. My deal is more important than your deal. I know, honey, but I've got more important things to do. Click, click. I've had a hard day. Leave me alone. Click, click. I'm doing this. Deal with it. Selfishness gets fueled with a lie. The lie is me first. Then if there's time, I might get around to it. I might care for you. Scripture says, when you do things, don't let selfishness or pride be your guide. Here we go. We're going to get the life-changing truth. Instead, be humble and give more honor to the others than to yourself. I want you to think about this for a minute. What would happen in your house? This is how it would go down in our house. If Billy Graham said, coming by to see you, Damon. I'm going to spend the day with you. So he comes to our house. Everything would revolve around him while he was there. I would be honored that he was in my home. Now here's the shift. Should I treat my wife any less honorable than a guy that I met one time? Of course not. See, do not be interested only in your own life. It's okay to be interested in your life, but don't only be interested in your own life, but be interested in the lives of others. That's a different way of living. I mean, what if that verse was embedded in the engine of my life? What if that verse was forefront? You know, every time I'm driving home, I'm going to consider my family more important. I'm going to consider my roommate more important. I'm going to consider my boss more important. I'm going to consider my employees more important. I'm going to consider whoever, whatever, more important. What if that was part of the engine of your life? I think we'd live very different lives. I think it would change the whole dynamic of our homes, of our workplaces, of our lives. Here's another one, materialism. You know, Proverbs 30, we've talked about this a couple times in this series, keep falsehoods and lies far from me. You know, we kind of kicked off with that one. You know, that those lies, as soon as I get the house, as soon as I get that car, as soon as I get that job, as soon as I get that bonus or that raise, I'm going to have peace. I'm going to be content. Everything's going to be all right. Lies, 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 lies. You know, the fact is we need to pray, and I challenge you to pray the prayer that follows here. Give me neither poverty nor riches, God, but give me only my daily bread, only what I need. Otherwise, I'll have too much and disown you and say, who's the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor your name. The fact is, if you live in the U.S., you got food on your table, roof over your head, got a car, two cars, three cars, We are rich. We are rich by the world's standards. We need a verse like that. We need a verse like that because we live in this society that says as soon as you get that, and see, otherwise, if I have too much, I'll disown you. Who needs God? Or I'll become poor and I'll steal and I'll dishonor your name. Friends, this is a great prayer for life. It's a great prayer for us to just continue to lift up to God and to go to him with that attitude. Some of you are letting stuff, you're letting it distract you from your relationship with God. In fact, I would argue with you that if that as a prayer scares you to pray, you really haven't surrendered yourself to Jesus Christ. We are some of the wealthiest people on the planet. God has given us a lot. And I trust God enough to know that he'll take care of what I need. But the question to you is, can you handle what you have? I got one more. The area of authority. Now here's the lie when it comes to authority. I don't agree with the rule. I don't need to keep it. Anybody struggle with that one? Ever? Teenagers? At work? One of the roads closed by my house, and so I had to take a different way to get out here each week. And I would hit this one stoplight every once in a while when I was coming to church. And I would sit there several minutes, sometimes several cycles of lights. There's nobody on the road that early on a Sunday morning. I can see no cars coming. Sometimes nobody would come for 2 or 3 minutes, and I'm sitting there. And every week I'd sit there, I wanted to run the light. Don't act so surprised. I didn't, by the way. But I wanted to. And I saw lots of people run that red light. If I don't agree with it, I don't have to obey it. If I don't like the people that make the rules, I don't have to keep it. If the rule gets in my way, I don't have to keep it. And friends, I will tell you, this is one of them that many times will result in some of the biggest regrets in your life. Because you don't understand, there's a fundamental truth about authority, maybe in your home, at school, or at work, or legally, or whatever. But the fundamental truth is this: let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by who? Who? Here's a simple translation. That red light, it's there by God's design. And whoever resists that authority opposes the ordinances of God. See, we keep the laws, we keep the rules, because God is behind it. Do you know who wrote that verse? The Apostle Paul, a guy that was under the thumb of Rome. And Christians were crying out, going, do we have to obey these crazy Romans? They're nuts. And Paul basically says to them, God let Rome be Rome. And as long as God lets Rome be Rome, we will obey the laws, because to obey Roman law is to obey God. Now what's interesting, eventually Christianity took over Rome. God knows what he's doing. But I believe when we're tested in that time where we go, I don't really like that rule. Don't really like what God has to say on that. We just need to recall the fact is God's in charge of it. You know, the Bible is full of great truths where you can find that specific truth to deal with that specific thing that you struggle with. And we didn't cover everything. There's so many things we could cover. But I believe when you begin to find those faulty parts in your life, those lies, And you find that truth, and then you begin to memorize that truth and make it part of the engine. What happens is it will help you fuel through those moments, you know, that you hit, so that at a moment's notice, you can push through. And there are really several things you can do with God's word here. One, just learn to speak the truth. You know, as it is written, a kind of approach. You know, say it to yourself. When you get in that pinch, you think of that verse, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, think on those things. I'm going to think on that stuff. You know, you can take God's word and personalize it. I'd encourage you to do that with Scripture, just to personalize it. Change the pronouns. You know, put your name in the verse. You know, I am not going to let any unwholesome talk come out of my mouth. I am going to be conformed to God's world, not conformed to the patterns of this world. Damon, don't be selfish anymore. You know, regard others as more important than you. You know, make a habit of praying God's word and God's truth. Again, it's a great way to remind yourself, God, help me to be slow to anger. God, keep falsehoods far from me. Just push them out of my thought. No, God, give me neither poverty or riches, but just give me what I need and what I can handle. You know best. Pray those prayers. You know, and if you're parents, can I say something to you? Pray with your kids that way. Model that kind of prayer life for them. I don't know if you figured it out, but moms, dads, there's a lot of things you can't do. You just can't. But there are some things that you can do for your kids, and you ought to take the opportunity and just take it and pray with them and teach them. Another thing you can do with God's word, and that's meditate on it. You know, you're getting ready in the morning. You know, whatever your routine is, just kick everything to the side and just meditate on a verse. Pick a verse, you know, a verse that speaks to that part that you need it to speak to in your life. You know, you're driving to work, you know, listen to it over and over or think about it. And just turn off the radio and just focus, meditate on it. You know, hit your head on the pillow at night. Think about a verse. You know, and just keep it all week. Just keep coming back to it. And see if it doesn't change you. You know, as you pray that back as a prayer, God, help me to be noble in my thoughts. Help me to think about what's right. Help me to keep from having that unwholesome stuff come out of my mouth. As you think about it over and over and over and over, as you saturate yourself with God's truth, you create habits for your life. You create habits for your mind and for your heart. And friends, it'll change your soul. You know, you make it a part of the engine of your life, and it will change you. It will transform you. And the truth sets you free. And I believe truth sets you free so that you can operate top gear, when it comes to character. Here, and then we live it out. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our holy God, God, we praise you. And God, change us, Lord. Renew us. Revive us. Renew our minds. Renew our thinking. God, I pray that we can... We've all got lies that we've bought into. Some of them we even know we're buying into lies. But God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just ignite us and give us the strength to not only identify those lies, but to just eradicate them, pitch that whole part of our life out. God, I pray that you would help us to stand on truth. God, we long to be people of character. I long for a community full of character, a country full of character, that stand for what you say is right. Not what I think, not what anybody else thinks. But what you say is right. God, I pray that we would permeate our schools, and our workplaces, our communities, our neighborhoods, that we might not get it all right, but that when people talk about us, Lord, they'd say, it's a person of character. God, we give you the glory, not only by what we say, but all we do. We give you the glory this day. Amen.